You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll hear from Chris Sims on loan from Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America. Sims had some information yesterday. He said that he was told that Aaron Rodgers was told he'd be traded in the offseason. And, of course, that never materialized. I thought that the Packers, the front office, would not have a response, a rebuttal to Aaron Rodgers' press conference yesterday, because I would just let this die. Now, they're having a press conference as we speak, and even Brian Gutekunst, the Packer GM, now the coach, Matt LaFleur, is also going to take the podium as well. I guess you just get it all out, but, you know, do you start asking, like, do you cross-examine witnesses here? You know, how much do you really want to know? And we love having the last word. Because if I'm the GM, Brian Gutekunst, all right, maybe I took a couple of shots yesterday. But you got out. You're okay. You might be bleeding a little bit, but you're okay. You kept your quarterback. And then you get in front of the media, and the media is going to say, hey, like this question. Did you guys get Randall Cobb just to make Aaron Rodgers happy? Here's the GM.
You know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Randall's still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me of, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room and for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
Okay. It's an honest answer, but how do you feel if you're Randall Cobb? Yeah, we didn't really want him. But, yeah, I saw him, and he'll be a great presence in the locker room. He can't help the team, but he's Aaron's buddy, and we're trying to make Aaron happy. Now, he didn't say that. And he also said that Aaron Rodgers has always had input, but...
Yes, I think it's no different than it's always been. You know, like the input from him, again, he's unique in the fact of what he's done for this organization. Every player's not going to have that kind of input, right? I mean, it's going to be Aaron. But he's always had it. I think it's how we incorporate it. At the end of the day, I'm going to take that in, and then I'll make the decision, and we'll move forward.
They agree to move forward. It just feels like they might not agree on the actual issue or issues here. Yes, Eden.
Do you remember when Kevin Nealon used to do that bit, Mr. Subliminal?
Yeah.
Every single one of these answers is just laden with holes to fill up by, like, oh, obviously Aaron's always had input into player personnel. We just never listened to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like everything has space for, like, yeah. Obviously, you know, without Aaron, we wouldn't be going in this direction. We don't want the player. And this is begging for Kevin Nealon.
It's just the cough at that moment when he's talking about Randall Cobb. It's just the timing is awesome because you just feel like he's going, is anybody really buying what I'm saying here?
Even I'm choking on what's coming out of my mouth.
I can't. This is bile that I'm like.
I'm very excited to have Randall here.
Yes, Paul.
We see a great future with Jordan Love. Excuse me.
NFL training camp is a time of great optimism, but it can also be a time for disaster. And usually we have one or two major injuries that they really can change an entire season. Yesterday, Cowboys got a little scare when it was announced that Dak Prescott left practice with soreness in his shoulder. They're saying that he'll be fine, but it is a reminder of how fragile an entire season can be. Because if that star quarterback goes down, all bets are off. And obviously, we hope it doesn't happen, but injuries are part of the NFL, and teams have to be lucky. I mean, my Chargers always have injuries. Always. They could be as talented as any team in the NFL. Always have injuries. You know, the Cowboy fans, they want to make sure that, hey, take care of Dak Prescott. I mean, if you would have said he left practice with some soreness, I would have thought it would have been with his ankle. But it's his shoulder. Injuries are part of the game. They're going to be part of the game this year, probably in the preseason. Somebody may go down with a season-ending injury. But that was one of those where you went, oh, okay, Dak Prescott. Here's another one to keep an eye on. What's going on with the Saints? Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas had that unbelievable year, NFL Offensive Player of the Year in 2019. He had 149 catches. But then he injured his ankle in week one of last year, never fully healed. He finished with 40 catches. He played in 7 regular season games. Well, that ankle injury is not healed, and here is Sean Payton talking about that.
Well, look, it appears we're going to have to spend some time without him. It's disappointing, and we'll work through it with the other players that are here. But the surgery took place, and obviously, we would have liked that to have happened earlier than later. And quite honestly, it should have.
Can you explain? I mean, was there a lack of communication in between?
Nope.
Or
nope. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, you probably should have left it at that before, you say, and frankly, it should have. I mean, he makes a valid point there. Man, I love these honest press conferences. Is this the new thing now? You got to be honest. Hey, I'm just being honest. Have you ever been criticized and then somebody say, hey, I'm just being honest? Like, I'd prefer you weren't. You know? Or we pick and choose when we want you to be honest. Yes, Todd.
It's the offshoot of I'm just saying when you know something horribly mean is about to come out. But yeah. Putting just there makes it okay to say it to him.
Yeah, like when I say I love you, but I don't always like you.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like it's true, but would you rather be lied to?
No, but it's still somewhat hurtful.
Okay.
But I'd rather be loved than liked. So it's okay then between us.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
So the 90s was the Jeter era where the players and athletes never said anything.
Nope.
Never gave you anything.
No.
The Jordan era, they never gave you anything.
No, no. Tiger doesn't give you anything.
Right. So this is the dude.
I like it. I like it. Yes, McLovin.
Even Tom Brady's showing all sorts of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. But he won't tell us the quarterback he was talking about when he said to the organization, you're going to stay with that bleep?
Like, wait, did you figured it out though? Did you or
I don't know.
You don't know for sure? Okay.
Because it doesn't have to be a team that he wanted to go to. Cuz I was told that it doesn't mean it was the Chargers. He wouldn't have said that about Tyrod Taylor, I guess. I don't know. Mitchell Trubisky. He might have said it about Mitchell Trubisky. And Tampa Bay. But from what I'm told, Tom was not talking about one of the teams that he didn't go to, that he actually was thinking about, the Bears, Chargers, that it could have been Tennessee, could have been the Colts. Although, the Colts, I don't know. Once again, this is what is out there, the 49ers. But then I was told, no, he shares the same agent as Garoppolo, and he never would have done that, and so I don't know. It just sort of hangs out there. But I'd love for Tom to say, here's the organization. Was it the Raiders? Was it Derek Carr? Yes, Seton.
I love that Tom's like, but he knows who he is.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, that dude who I'm talking about, he knows that I'm talking about him. Dang.
This day in sports history, Roger Goodell upheld the 4-game suspension imposed on Tom Brady. That's 2015. The appeal was denied by Brady. Commissioner Goodell emphasized important new information disclosed by Brady and his representatives in connection with the hearing, but that was 6 years ago today. Let me see where Brady's. Brady had a statement that day. I'm very disappointed by the NFL's decision to uphold the 4-game suspension against me. I did nothing wrong, and no one in the Patriots organization did either. Despite submitting to hours of testimony over the past 6 months, it's disappointing that the commissioner upheld my suspension based upon a standard that was probable, that I was generally aware of misconduct. The fact is, neither I nor any equipment person did anything of which we have been accused. He dismissed my hours of testimony, and it's disappointing that he found it unreliable. I also disagree with yesterday's narrative surrounding my cell phone. I replaced my broken Samsung phone with the new iPhone 6 after my attorneys made it clear to the NFL that my actual phone device would not be subjected to investigation under any circumstances. Most importantly, I have never written, texted, emailed to anybody at any time anything related to football air pressure before this issue was raised at the AFC Championship game in January. To suggest that I destroyed a cell phone to avoid giving the NFL information it requested is completely wrong. It's a strong denial by Brady, because I remember, and you know, I found out who the source was who gave up the information about the cell phone. And, you know, I was trying to figure out where's this coming from, that, hey, Brady, I hear, has destroyed his cell phone. You know, he won't let the commissioner have it. Well, I wouldn't turn over my cell phone to my boss. You know, how do I know? I can't trust the NFL. Like, I got personal notes in there, photos in there, business stuff in there, and I'm not turning over my cell phone. I understand that. You know, if I'm Tom, I say, hey, commissioner, how about you give me your cell phone, I'll give you mine. Good? Good. But I understand that. Now, do I think that there was something going on here? Yes, I do. Now, to what extent, I don't know. But as I've said before, quarterbacks should be able to, I don't want to say doctor the football, but you should have a football to your liking. And then the opposing quarterback can do the same thing. There's no advantage. That's it. And this does happen. It has happened. Rodgers talked about it. Rodgers told me, he goes, I love it pumped up even harder, like a 12. No, Brady wanted it a little softer. I'm going to guess Peyton Manning, same thing. Yes, Paul.
Remember a couple days after the AFC title game and Brady had that press conference wearing the sweatshirt and the hat and he addressed everything, denied everything?
Yeah.
If he had come out that day and gone, yeah, we absolutely put the footballs the way you wanted, just like every other quarterback in the league does, and you should ask them because that's what they do, and there's no competitive advantage to it, so it's a stupid rule, it's an unnecessary rule, and of course we put the footballs the way
you
wanted.
But he can't then indict the other quarterbacks. He can say there is no competitive advantage because if other quarterbacks around the league have a football to their liking, I don't care.
I wonder if you gave him a do-over if he would have come out in the press conference and said, yeah, of course we did, to get it the way our liking, because there's no competitive advantage, of course. Would that have been like a quick little fine and no story?
I don't know. You know, the cover-up's always worse than the crime.
But that suspension created Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo was, I think, had two wins in his first two games in that four-game suspension and became a hot property.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how, if you gave Brady a do-over, what he would have done differently. I think at the time, you know, you're Tom Brady and you're with the Patriots and you've got the most powerful coach, you have one of the most powerful owners, and you're Tom Brady. And the commissioner is not going to want to drag you guys through the mud. Like, he's got to appear to be neutral on all this or unbiased, but I'm thinking, I don't know, it felt like he was getting away with something, or they did something to get away with something, and then they denied it and they tried to cover it up. Yes, he.
Or maybe Tommy didn't do anything wrong.
That's true.
Ever think of that?
Yes.
I mean, the truth is staring us all right in the face. Why do we deny it?
I was told that there were two owners who said to the commissioner, hey, you hold everybody else's feet to the fire. You got to hold their feet to the fire. Two owners. Yes, Todd.
You know who did do something wrong? That person that was trying to paint his portrait in the jury. That was like disaster in the courtroom. That horrifically ugly picture of him. No, nothing there?
Thank you, Todd.
Didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah. But
it was a pretty bad portrait, wasn't it? If I remember back in the day when they were painting him.
McLovin actually had a drawing of Tom Brady in the courtroom.
It's right back there in the man cave. It's one of my points of pride.
Yeah.
We could show him the looking.
I thought you did a great job with that.
Oh, by the way, there's an NFL reporter out there who's desperately trying to find out what the Griffith Jr. 3 jersey means in the man cave.
Why don't you tell him?
Well, it's because I said Robert Griffith Jr. III many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's a Cleveland Browns jersey, and nobody remembers that Robert Griffin Jr. III had a brief cup of coffee with the Browns.
The fact that you had a, it's Robert Griffin, and you had Griffith, and you had a junior, and you had the third.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't just screw up one. It was Robert Griffith Jr. the third.
I think it was on like a sneaky Heisman watch, like a way early Heisman watch or something.
Yes, Paul.
It was during his rookie year, and if you remember right, about a week later, Sal Palantonio was doing a live shot outside the Redskins facility, and he goes, the big story here is the condition of Robert Griffith Jr. the third. And we all went berserk. Sal Pal.
Yeah, I don't know if Sal Pal was giving you show a shout out there.
Well, I try to argue that if you're a third, you're also a junior in a sense, because you're a junior to the junior. How about junior squared?
Okay, you had Robert Griffith Jr. the third, and you had Aaron Rodgers says, relax.
R-E-A-L-X.
R-E-A-L-X.
But by the way, compounding the RG3 thing is the fact that you love having the wrong jersey. If a guy like signs for one day with someone, you're like, oh, give me that jersey.
Yeah.
You want the weird jerseys.
Oh, we have our Robert Griffith Jr. the third Cleveland Browns jersey. All right, we'll take a break. Chris Sims will join us next. We'll get his...
Relax, R-E-A-L-X or whatever. Or whatever, like it's so hard
or
to spell.
Whatever.
Remember relax, R-E-A-L-X or whatever.
It's not like you're trying to spell Krzyzewski. It's relax.
I think it's five letters.
Sims will join us coming up next and get his thoughts on what he talked about yesterday. Did Aaron Rodgers, was he told he was going to be traded this offseason? 17 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. LifeLock. LifeLock, it does exactly that. Wants to lock up your life with all that information because we share it. How many times have you used public Wi-Fi, right? You want to take care of an email or you want to post something? Well, cyber criminals can spy on unsecured public Wi-Fi networks. They can see your browsing history, read emails. They can even get passwords there. You got to understand how much information we put on the internet and how cyber criminals can steal what's yours. That's why it's great that there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. And then there's a restoration specialist who will help you if you become a victim. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you sleep well at night knowing that you can protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Promo code Patrick, 1-800-LIFELOCK, LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get an in-depth look at the country's top gymnasts in the Peacock original Golden. Go behind the scenes with the athletes as they compete for four spots on Team USA's Olympic roster. The new docuseries Golden, streaming now. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to get started. You'll find Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk live co-host on Peacock, former NFL quarterback and football night in America. All right, what came out yesterday after Aaron Rodgers' press conference where you were with Paul Allen of KFAN saying the same thing, that Aaron Rodgers was told that he was going to be traded in the offseason?
I had always heard really going back to like when this all became news, that from other teams in the NFL, that there was the sense out there that Rodgers and his camp were told they could start to dabble in the conversations of trading, and that they told him that, yeah, that they might appease him that way. So yeah, that's where I got that. I don't know. I guess it's more news that it just came out here yesterday or whatever else, but it's something I know Florio had heard behind the scenes. And then, as we had this time off, and I, you know, usually in this time off, I try to catch up with coaches and people I know around football. Of course, the Aaron Rodgers conversation came up with a lot of different people, like, man, do you believe this? Can you believe how the Packers handled this? All those type of things. And yeah, I think that's the one thing that's not out there kind of in the public, is everything I've been led to believe from people around the NFL is he was kind of led to believe he could find a trade partner this offseason. Now, why didn't he say it yesterday? I don't know. I thought he would say it yesterday, but knowing Aaron Rodgers too, Dan, I would sit there and go, he is the kind of guy that doesn't want to make it look like he wanted out of there.
Yeah.
And he wanted to leave Green Bay and look like that to the fan base too. So, again, I know this from pretty good sources that this was a real thing.
And I wonder if you gave the Packers a mulligan right now, you can trade him in the offseason. You can change all of this. Would they still have signed up for this knowing they were going to get him at least 1 year? Or they could have traded him prior to the draft, had more people interested, gotten a whole lot more for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I think they probably could have maximized more, to your point. But I think the other big factor in this this is where another thing I was told behind the scenes from another NFL, person I trust and I'm friends with here. And the fact that, the Jordan Love aspect came into play with that conversation as well, Dan. They know he's not ready. Like we talked about back in the spring, The fact that he never dressed for a game last year, I mean, you might as well get a mega horn and yell it out. Like, man, he's not ready. He's raw. He needs work. So I think that ultimately, too, led to this, wait, let's think about this again. Are we going to throw Jordan Love out there and then make it really look like a disaster if he didn't play well? And, whoa, we got rid of Rodgers and here he is. Messing up our Super Bowl NFC championship type of football team. I would have to think that was a big part of their thinking as well.
Could you get a first round pick for Jordan Love right now?
No, I don't. No way. Not right now. Okay. The fact that he hasn't played, I think the league was very iffy about him to begin with. There was some teams that I think loved his high end talent. I know that during that process, and I kind of jumped on him a little early too, because I kind of fell in love with his highlight tape and some of the positive things he could do. But as I dug deeper, there were issues. And I had too many conversations with too many different teams who were like, man, yeah, I see some of that arm talent and those type of things, but he is raw, not the best decision maker. There was a lot of work to be done. I don't think many teams really viewed him as a first round pick, other than maybe two or three that I know of in the NFL.
I still go back to the Rams situation. And, I can't nail it down and say that it's a report. But, that was right there for him. Before they went and got Stafford, if you would have said to Sean McVay, we can get Rodgers. Or you can get Sean McVay. Or you can get Matthew Stafford.
You're going to take Rodgers. Yeah. You're going to take Rodgers. But I'll give you a little caveat, that you might not get him as long as Stafford. That's the one other thing we got to remember, too. It seems like Stafford's been playing since 1974, but he's only 32 years old. That's what's amazing about him. He's got a long way in front of him. But, yes, I think they do take Rodgers. If that's you can have either one, I would think McVay does it. But I think it goes back to the conversation we just had a little bit, Dan. I don't think Green Bay was really ready at that time to get into trade talks and really go all in on it and do those type of things. So McVay had to do what was best, available right now, a sure thing, and that was Stafford. Of course, he had the relationship with Brad Holmes up there, who had just left the Rams to become the new GM of the Detroit Lions.
And he wanted to get rid of Jared Goff as well in the process.
Exactly. That was a big thing. No doubt, Dan. You can't forget that.
Are you all in on the Rams? I don't know if I've got you on record.
I don't know. I'm all in on the Rams.
You're not all in on the Rams. You pause.
I haven't figured out who I'm going to pick to win divisions and do all of that. Yes. Listen, I love the Rams football team. Of course, I think that offense is going to be better with Matthew Stafford and all the things that he can do, let alone now McVay can expand what he wants to call because of the things Stafford can do. I am in it. But here's my one issue why I'm hesitant. They're an all-star team. It's 22 players. There's not a lot of depth on their team. So I always worry about that with the Rams. They've dodged that bullet the last few years, but they're a little like the Falcons, except they've dodged that bullet where you go, man, the starting 22 is good, but if they lose three or four players, they're screwed and they won't be the same football team. And that's what I do worry about them. And especially, as you know, the NFC West, come on, it's sick how good that division is right now.
Should quarterbacks have a say?
Yeah, to a degree. Not that they call the shots, but I think when you're Rodgers, Brady, okay, I'll even throw Mahomes in that category now, but you know what I'm talking about. Peyton Manning, a few years into his career, not that you have to listen and go, oh, that's what you want to do, but you have a conversation with them. I mean, geez, Dan, I went to one freaking playoff game in the next offseason when Gruden wanted to do things. He would at least talk to me about it a little bit. He wasn't going to listen to me, but he was going to hear my reasoning.
That's
every now
when his
and then
coaching career started to go down, though. I
way
think.
Downhill right there. You know, you listen to a dumb blonde from Jersey, you got issues. But no, I think, and I think that's the point Rodgers is trying to make a little bit. Like, you know, this is where I go crazy about the Rodgers stuff. All these comments on social media and everything that he's a diva and a diva and a diva. And I understand it. I understand he's not perfect and he's not the easiest guy in the world. But damn, I look at him as the opposite of a diva. I mean, they've never done anything. Drafting, free agency to help him. He signs team-friendly deals, six-year contracts. It's the opposite of a diva.
Well, they do a good job in drafting talent here, Chris. You can't say they – I mean, Jordy Nelson or Devontae Adams – Aaron Jones, the offensive line, Rashawn Gary is like they've drafted
yeah,
well.
Rashawn Gary, what, Dan? He doesn't play. He's behind Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. You know, that's where I don't.
Those are
I
good players.
I know they are. And you're, listen, you're right. I'm not trying to like yell at you. Okay. I'm just going, there needs to be more to it than that. They do. They have a great formula. That's great. I understand that. But at the same time, like, as I think I've said to you before, I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I think Brett Favre is one of the top five or six I've ever seen. They've won two Super Bowls with the two of the five best quarterbacks in the history of the sport. To me, hey, the formula is great, but every now and then you got to go, wait, let me look at the context of this situation, the reality of the situation, and make a move or change. I mean, you know, again, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to hate on anybody here. But Brady had a coach that got Darrell Revis and did all the draft picks you talked about and then also got Randy Moss and made other trades and everything else in the world to help that football team. And we really can't say that's ever been done in Green Bay with Rodgers or anything like that.
Yeah, but they're smart enough to draft Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, okay. He fell into their lap at 25 that year.
Okay.
All right? I mean, yes, that's great. I'm not saying they're idiots up there. I'm just saying – It's worth questioning the fact that they've won two Super Bowls with two of the five greatest quarterbacks ever. And yes, I think when you look at what the Chiefs did this offseason, they have Patrick Mahomes and they got one of the best right tackles in football, the best guard in football. They traded for a corner who's a first round pick who's been dealing with injuries and Mike Hughes. The Green Bay doesn't do that stuff. We send out planes in the air with like, they signed a free agent, yeah. One of them.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And that's where I think
I'm critical of the Packers that if I can use Aaron Rodgers to lure free agents, why wouldn't I do that? I don't want
exactly.
Him, yeah, I don't want him in my war room when we're drafting, but I do.
Right.
I want him to reach out to an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, even a defensive
Dan,
player.
I agreed. And I think that's, again, I know of at least two instances. One, a big-time receiver who was in Rodgers' ear, because this receiver used to tell me he wanted to go there. That happened here in the last few years. The team didn't want to hear it from Rodgers. You know, yeah, they don't. I think there's a lot of teams, and I think that's where Rodgers
gets
frustrated.
You can give us the name now.
I can't. The guy's still playing and he's still good and I don't want to cause any issues here and him beat me up or something. But that's where, you know, I think he's frustrated because I think he does have people reach out to him to go, man, I'd like to come up there and do something with you and play up in Green Bay. And Green Bay always just goes, well, we only draft guys and they stick to their formula. And I get it, but I don't get it.
DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Right. You don't know my poker face either, so you won't know if I'm lying or not.
Pro Football Talk Live co-host Chris Sims joining us. The camp that is most interesting right now, aside from Green Bay, is?
Ooh, wow. Good question. All right. Well, first off, I'm pissed at the Jets. Like, what the hell are you doing? That's what I'm just interested because of the stupidity of the Jets right now. That's where I'd like to go with that. I mean, here we are. We drafted all this young talent. We got a superstar quarterback. All they could do was rave about him to anybody who would listen all spring. Now he's lasers everywhere. This guy's awesome. And now they're going to screw up all the development because of money that means nothing. And I can't blame Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh. That's it's got to be an ownership thing.
But isn't this slotted, Chris? Like, don't they know what they have to pay him? Like, what is the holdup here?
The holdup is obviously the Jets are trying to do something ownership to me. This is not like Joe Douglas because it's not a salary cap issue or anything like that. It has to do something, I think, with, yeah, one of the higher ups above them going, wait, we don't want to write that check right now or give all that cash. I don't know if there's cash flow problems with the Jets or what it is, but you're right. The last few years, the first and second picks, it's slotted. You know what you get. They all get their money in the first 2 or 3 months, and that's it. But, of course, the Jets are doing Jets things. That's interesting. But, Dan, the other one, the 49ers. I mean, how could I not? 49ers are a Super Bowl team.
Well, you finally got, you know, they signed their, you know, they signed Trey. So,
right.
Is he going to eventually start this year?
I would think that there's got to be at least a package of plays for him. I don't know if I'm going to say he's going to start. I got to see him play in the preseason and see, you know, if he's become more of a polished passer, if he can, you know, handle the NFL game and all that there is to bring to, that comes with that. So, you know, I don't know, but it's intriguing either way because they're a super talented football team with a quarterback that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and a guy that they traded away 3 first round picks to get now, and they're having a quarterback battle. So I think that's probably the story of training camp.
If Garoppolo had won that Super Bowl,
yeah,
would they have drafted a quarterback?
Probably not. I think it buys them at least another year, maybe two at least. Like
he's two first downs away from beating Mahomes.
You know, two first downs away from Mahomes, but a full second half of bad decisions, bad throws, plays that were there to be had when they had to kick a field goal. There should have been a wide open completion on third down to George Kittle over the middle, and that drive should have continued. I think it's that type of stuff that has continually frustrated the 49ers and things like that. But, I'm with you. I think if they win that game, you buy yourself 2, maybe 3 years if you're a Super Bowl champ.
I feel like we were yelling at each other today.
I know. You know, I'm yelling, I think, anyways, because I have ear pods in and I'm usually at my studio with the mic and all that. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to yell at you. My fault.
You look like you're on a spaceship with Jeff Bezos or something. Whatever that is that Earth behind you?
That's Sunday Night Football Earth. I mean, you know, you've seen that set back there. Remember when you used to be Bobby Big Time and host Football Night
Bobby
in America?
Big Time. That in fact, that's what my nickname was in the building. Bobby Big Time.
I know.
Hey.
You're kind of a big deal.
Here comes Bobby Big Time. I think I left some weed in my locker there, so feel free if you want that.
Oh, I already smoked it. Don't worry. I found it. I got a nose for those type of things. Don't you worry.
hey, and your Longhorns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't beat them, join them.
Right. I'm happy. I mean, come on. Has there been I'm disappointed with the Texas program. I think it's one of the most disappointing programs in college football the last 10 years. Get out of the Big 12. It's a flag football conference. Yeah, let's see if we can go, you know, play with the big boys in the SEC because that's where it's at for sure. I hope they make the move. I really do.
How did Texas close you?
How did Texas close me? Listen, Mac Brown, I don't know how much you've met him, right?
I love Mac Brown.
Mac's amazing. I mean, he's amazing. You know, I used to say he could sell a Pinto to Donald Trump. Like, he could do that. Like, he is the smoothest talker ever. But either way, the school was amazing. I love the rise of the program, right? Ricky Williams won the Heisman right before the year I went there. I was like, man, this will be cool to be a part of the uprising of Texas football again.
But the car, was it automatic or stick that you got?
They don't give cars to rich kids who grew up as sons of quarterbacks. They don't do that. Right?
They loan them. They loan them. They don't give them, Chris.
They don't. I didn't get anything down there other than, as I've discussed with you before,
What would Tennessee have given you?
Nothing. I'm too high profile to get anything. So I know one day I'll write a book and tell you some of the stories and everything that like went on during those other things I witnessed with other people, with other players,
of course,
on certain visits.
Can you give me one with no names?
gosh. I just was on a visit once with big time defensive tackle, right? Big time defensive tackle. And this school is rolling out the red carpet. And man, anything he looked at, he wanted. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want this. I want that. And of course, someone whispered in his ear, you know, don't worry, we'll get it to you here sometime in the near future. So that's one that my Aunt Wendy and my mom still get a kick out of.
But you,
I know, I'm sorry. I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I don't want to get the school in trouble, the player in trouble. I'm sorry.
All right.
The player probably wouldn't care. He really wouldn't, but I don't want to get the school in trouble. That's where I'd feel guilty.
I think we have it.
Well, we had the list of the schools you officially visited, but we will not give them out.
Oh, yeah. It's all right. I visited a lot of schools unofficially, too, so you wouldn't be able to pin it down to that. Sorry.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No.
Nah, you know.
Do you want to tell me
that? If your dad has frequent flyer miles and money, you can visit other schools. It's easier.
Do you want to tell me the wide receiver now instead?
Nope. Okay. Man, yeah, I know. You're trying to really get me today. Get me in big trouble. No, I can't tell you.
Adam Thielen.
Nope. Sorry.
Jarvis Landry.
Bigger than Adam Thielen and everything like that. That's what I'll say to you on that point.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Chris, as always.
You the man. I'll
Larry Fitzgerald.
See you. Goodbye.
All right. That's Chris. Pro Football Talk. You know, the Danettes wanted to have, I guess it's hot dog month, and here we are ending the month, and I had Tyler, the moderator, go out and get some hot dogs, some chili cheese dogs. The Traeger's fired up, and we're going to have those. If you're watching on Peacock, you'll be able to live vicariously through us. Because once again, chili cheese dogs, who has it better than us?
Nobody.
Take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, and what's in store tomorrow. That was a quick show. Chili dogs coming off the Traeger. Good stuff. Good times. Paulie has good idea, bad idea. This is, now is this, like we're Shark Tank, and
yes.
I'm Mark Cuban, and I'm going to listen to good idea, bad idea?
Yeah, there's no middle ground. You can critique it, but either it's officially good or officially bad.
Good idea, bad idea. Okay.
You know how it's a 20, custom music for good idea, bad idea.
Okay.
So the next Olympics is in 3 years because of the pushback of this Olympics.
Okay.
How about this? Change the format where the Olympics, both summer and winter, now occur going forward every 3 years. At the same time, make a change to the World Cups for soccer and make that every 3 years. Athletes get more chances to perform on the world stage, especially Olympic athletes, and they get paid more. A guy like Lionel Messi now plays in 4 World Cups instead of 3 in his career.
Okay.
Now, people said it won't be as networks will make much, much, much more money. Sponsors make much more money. The athletes make much more money.
Right.
The next Summer Olympics is in 3 years, so we're going to have this happen, and so we can enact it then. Some people argue this will make the Olympics and the World Cup less special. That will fade quickly. That criticism will fade quickly. Mm-hmm. If the next Olympics are in 3 years, I'm not going to get there in 3 years and say, you know what, this is too quick. It's not special. I'm either going to watch.
We need to wait 4 years,
right? And to deal with infrastructure and venue issues, pick a handful of major world cities that already have the infrastructure to host the games and rotate them. Los Angeles, London, etc., etc. You don't give it to Qatar. You don't give it to a country that does not have a current general infrastructure to host the games.
All right.
But the overall thing is, use this opening that where the Olympics are in 3 years from now to make that permanent.
Yeah, good idea. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? Much more money.
I don't know. I don't get in those meetings. Like, you know, I'm like Aaron Rodgers. You know, I want a voice, but nobody wants to listen to me. I can try to make it happen.
Thank you.
I mean,
champion it?
I can, yeah.
You haven't championed anything in a couple
months.
Well,
I'm trying to get Kenny Anderson and Ken Riley of the Bengals into the Hall of Fame.
You nailed the John Facenda thing.
Yes, I did. But that was a little bit easier. Kenny Anderson and Ken Riley need to be in the Hall of Fame. Yes, McClellan.
Is it a Ken Anderson and Kenny Anderson was the basketball player?
Yes.
So you don't care about the basketball player?
No.
Although he had a pretty good career.
Yeah. Not a great career.
Ken Anderson is hot. You're Ken Anderson. I read that like some analytic guy every month pulls out he should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he didn't play for a great team, but you know he went to the Super Bowl. All right, let's this day in sports history.
This day in sports history, 1983, Steve Garvey, the Los Angeles Dodgers, very handsome, set the National League record of consecutive games at 1,207.
I know. It's like, you got the National League record.
Yeah.
Who's got the record? Cal Ripken does. He basically doubled you.
Bill Miller is Bill Mueller, but it's Miller, right?
Yes.
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Became the first player in the Major League history to hit grand slams from both sides of the plate in a game. He had 3 home runs in the game, 9 RBI.
And he wasn't a home run hitting guy.
No. And he spelled his name incorrectly.
Yeah. Was it like M-U-E-L-L-E-R?
It looks like Mueller.
Mueller?
Yeah, you got it.
Bill Miller. Let's see. NBA draft tonight. I guess I'll watch. I'm just not, you know. I don't know if there's anything where I go, wow, can't wait. Yeah, see.
There are people saying this is the deepest draft since the LeBron Carmelo draft.
Hmm. It's... Having done drafts at the mothership, you've always hear, you know, hey, this is a deep draft. Like, okay. I don't know what that means. Usually deep draft means there's no great players, but there are a bunch of good players in here. And maybe that's what we have this year. I don't know if you have one of those. I'm curious what happens. What do the Golden State Warriors do? I'm curious. And does Bradley Beal get traded tonight? Or Ben Simmons get traded tonight? Yes, McLovin.
Kill two birds with one stone. Just make the swap. Bradley Beal for Ben Simmons.
No, I think that's been proposed. I think that's been proposed. By
Beal, I mean, Beal's a better player, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Hey, the Sixers want 9 first-rounders for Ben Simmons.
Oh, I know. It's that, but, you know, if you said, hey, you want Bradley Beal, that'd be a huge upgrade for them. Brad in California. Hey, Brad, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to chip in on that discussion regarding, the deflated football and how the quarterbacks have a preference. But if you remember, they really distorted that story and implicated Belichick because they said that it was allowed less fumbles, the ball was easier to catch,
yeah,
and all that. And by the way, the show is auriferous as usual, and that is it's golden.
Oh, well, thank you, Brad. McLovin knew that, didn't you?
No, I had no idea. Auriferous, spelled O-R-E, I guess.
Todd, did you know what auriferous meant?
I did not.
Okay.
Are we even sure it's a real word?
And I'm taking Brad's word for it. Why wouldn't I? Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Poll question? Oh, yeah. Who won the offseason? The Packers or the Rodgers? 57% said Aaron Rodgers had a better offseason than the Packers.
All right, Todd.
Chris Sims says it's time for his Texas Longhorns to get out of the flag football Big 12 and join the SEC. Smack.
McLovin.
I'm having an auriferous Thursday.
What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. We'll do it tomorrow. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.